You can't get a deal done if you're not even talking. And the two sides haven't had any negotiations since late March or early April. And it sounds like at this point it's personal. It sounds like each side is dug in. The Cowboys have come out and said what they said publicly at the start of training camp, which Micah didn't like. Micah came out and asked to be traded, said he was ready to move on from Dallas. And right now, both sides seem to be angry. Now, have other people put those feelings aside in the past and figured out a way to work out a deal? Yeah, I don't see that happening here. I see these two sides headed towards a divorce in time. The only question is, when is that divorce going to happen and how is it going to happen?
Adam Schefter on Micah Parsons. Will he play week one? Jerry Jones said like a week ago that he doesn't even think he plays week one. Parsons, who I think is the most attractive of the big names on the trade market because of his age. Trey Hendrickson's 32. Terry McLaurin is 30. Parsons is 26.
Mm-hmm.
He's even younger than that. 26 years old for Parsons. I still think that deal will get done. We have a bet on that, by the way. I don't know if you forgot about it.
I didn't forget about it.
It's up there. Second last on our bet board. Dallas to extend Dak, Lamb, and Parsons. I was a yes, you were a no. How do you feel about that one right now?
I'm feeling very good about it.
You're down to your last strike.
I am.
But the pitch might look pretty good right now. You got a year.
I'm feeling pretty good about it. Jerry Jones, something eventually has to come back to bite him. And I feel like this is it.
Other than like their results, you mean?
Well, that goes without saying. That goes without saying. But he is such a bad general manager / team president. And now it's just kind of like out in the open that he just does stuff to stay relevant in the media.
That's always been my theory, is that my hot take on this is that he does all this on purpose.
And
that
he basically admitted that he does it.
Yeah. That drags out the contract dilemmas, knowing he's going to pay more for these players, but he gets to stay on television every single day.
His team stays on television. The insane lack of self-awareness on why that would be not something you should be bragging about. Have you ever seen the movie The Big Short?
No, it's literally like my favorite movie.
One of mine as well. You know the part where they're talking to Schmidt from
New Girl?
From New Girl, yes. And the other guy, and they're like, I don't get it. Like, why are they
confessing?
Why are they confessing? He's like, they're not confessing. He's bragging.
Right.
And literally, that's Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
It's like, why is he confessing?
I've got a boat.
Right. Right. He's like, I got three boats. Yeah, we know, Jerry.
Well, you know what he's confessing to? Good for him. What Jerry Jones cares about, and he's proven this. Has he not proven this a million times? What he's proven is he cares more about his team being the most wealthy sports franchise in the world more than he cares about winning championships. Right?
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
He'd rather be number one on the Forbes list every single year.
100%.
I am the moneymaker. I am the kingpin of this league. I've got the most valuable franchise. That's his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's how he treats the franchise. The roster. I don't know why anyone would want to play for a team like that when it's pretty evident that that's how they do things. Remember Jordan Phillips making comments about how like they take season ticket holders and like people that like have won auctions on stuff like to like tour the locker room facilities, and they're like tapping. He's like, you feel like you're a zoo animal and they're tapping on the glass versus here with the Bills. Like it's just so different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Cowboys are a dumpster fire.
Yeah, like he's like the next. He's going to be like the next main character on The Golden Bachelor.
All that being said, I do think they're a sneaky playoff team this year, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
They are a sneaky playoff team. I would agree with that.
And I have an MVP bet on Dak.
So. The only coach that you could possibly upgrade from with Brian Schottenheimer is who they fired.
Mike McCarthy.
That's it.
Sometimes I'm reminded Brian Schottenheimer is their head coach.
Which is insane.
The least inspiring. Again, it's Jones wants a yes man. He doesn't care about, he just doesn't care about winning at all, I don't think. Anyways, 803-0550 is the phone number to the Bills. If Gabe Davis is visiting today, he's got a rude awakening in terms of the weather. It is raining out right
Not
now.
A great day. Yeah.
No, we've had some really good weather. It's, at least it's been hot and sunny. And today, you know, at least out the window right now, we got some not downpour. Not a downpour. But it's raining. Steady rain. Chris in South Carolina is first up this hour. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? I say bring Gabe on. The reason I say so, there's a couple different reasons, man. The reason I say so is if we had our chance 2 years ago to sign Gabe for $8 million, let's just say, I think the majority of us would have taken that. And all of our players from time to time have been schemed out of our offense for a couple games, definitely a couple series. And Gabe, for sure, definitely had his games where, you know, he would just be non-existent, no catches, like we've said. Everybody knows that about him. But the thing about it now is, like you guys said earlier, Jacksonville, they're paying for him. I say we bring Gabe in, give him a chance to collect his bag after this year. And, I mean, just think about everything that he could do exactly like Matt Collins, minus the special teams. And second and two, you could use Gabe in motion as a blocker even, because we know that he you know, he's one of our best blockers. And I think one of the telling things real quick is Gabe's rookie year, I can't think of the fellow's name, but it was Gabe's high school coach, used to be a former Bills player. And he said that he told his children that they need to emulate Gabe Davis, and said that Gabe was the hardest worker of any player that he ever played with other than himself. And so we all know that he's a hard worker in the off season. I say bring the cat in, give him $1 million, let him try to get his bag after this year. And, I mean, at worst, you were losing Chenault or Elijah Moore, because Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel, because of his contract, and Shavers, because of his opportunity, I think it would be our wideouts. And then the two out, if we kept Gabe, would be Chenault and Moore. So just see what you guys think.
Yeah, I would Thanks, wait. Chris. I would just rather have Moore.
I would rather have Elijah Moore.
I would much also. Rather have Elijah Moore. And like,
if it comes down to those two, like if it was, if we signed Gabe, Elijah Moore is getting cut. I would rather see that out in the regular season. Gabe is like, right, like the Iron Bill Award, hardest worker. Fantastic. That's all great. Yep. Like, I don't doubt that he is even a role model the way you described him for kids playing the position. But I'm trying to win the Super Bowl here, and I just got stopped on a 4th and 5 and a 3rd and 10 before that to the Chiefs because I didn't have a receiver that could get open. I had to throw a screen pass to Amari Cooper because I didn't trust anybody to separate. Why did they call on 4th down an orbit motion in the backfield to Khalil Shakir? Because they didn't trust anybody to get open one-on-one.
Yeah.
And
He doesn't help that.
I don't know what the odds are of that being Elijah Moore right now, but Elijah Moore, that's his skill set.
I'm also not going to overreact to one bad preseason game with Mike White.
For Elijah Moore?
Yeah, I'm not overreacting.
It's probably
about
fair.
That.
When, by the way, the previous preseason game, if Mitch Trubisky sees him,
he's
catches
got a
walk-in
70-yard touchdown.
70-yard touchdown, and how different does it sound right now about Elijah Moore if that had happened?
Yep.
So I'm not saying he's having an amazing camp
Me
or
either.
Amazing preseason. Just if it came down to...
You're already paying him.
The big physical hard worker that can block and help me in the run game in the depths of my receiver room versus the guy that is a separator and, well, maybe he can be an impact player getting open on my offense. I would rather take a shot on that guy. Especially since I've already paid him.
I want to point out something about Matt Collins, which is, you know, Chris mentioned, like, Gabe Davis is, you know, can be like Matt Collins without the special teams. Matt Collins wouldn't have made the team in the first place if he didn't have the special team stuff. What you got out of him as a receiver was crazy bonus. It was way more than you expected to get from him. If you would have told me last year, August 20th, that Matt Collins was going to have the season he had at receiver, what would you have thought about how good the offense was going to be?
If you told me the snap count, I would have thought the offense would have been
in
bad.
Trouble.
Yeah.
And
like bad by Joe Channel
standards, which is like
10.
What they got from Matt Collins was not the plan.
No.
The plan was he was going to be their 5th receiver and be a special team stud. So the idea that you could just swap the production, that's fine. But Matt Collins isn't even, we're not even talking, Matt Collins doesn't get paid, doesn't get the opportunity to play and get paid unless he has the special teams acumen.
That's fair.
So
I also just also like throwing this in on Matt Collins every once in a while. It's so overstated sometimes how productive he was in the offense.
Yeah.
He played a lot. That's the point. He played a lot. He caught 31 passes.
Probably 20 more than I thought he was going to, though.
Sure. But that's because it's relative to your expectation. He caught 378 yards. He caught 378 yards.
He kept Keon Coleman off the field after he got back from injury.
Did he keep him off the field? Yeah. Or is the fact they traded for Amari Cooper is what kept him off the field?
Maybe a little bit of both, but I think a big thing was that you couldn't really take Matt Collins off. He was playing better than Keon was.
I think they tried to replace him in the middle of the season. I think that's what the Cooper trade was. Because remember, Coleman was playing well.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. Coleman, what's the timeline of that? He gets injured and then they trade
Dolphins
for Cooper?
Game.
And then yes. They trade for Cooper?
No. They traded for Cooper before the injury.
That's right. So they traded for Cooper. Yeah, Coleman hadn't really popped off yet.
Nope.
They actually trade for Cooper, and then Coleman goes 4 for 125 against Tennessee, and then 5 for 70 to touchdown
against Seattle.
And that's to me when it's becoming clear, like, hey, they're going to be working Hollins out here of the picture, because Coleman's playing well and Cooper's here now. But then, right, Coleman gets hurt, but it's 31 passes, and it's 5 touchdowns. So, but anyways, like. If you're bringing Davis in, that might be, you know, what you'd expect from him. I don't know what his role would be. If he signed today, is that his stat line at the end of the year? Is he getting 50 targets in this offense this year? Because I don't feel great about that. If there's 50 targets available for a depth receiver, I'd much rather it be an Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel. Ron and Alden's next. What's up, Ron?
Hey, good morning, guys. So I've been giving thought. I know we've been, if we get Davis, whatever, I don't have a feeling for that either way. But our defense, a lot of talk has been about the safety position. I don't know where we ranked last year as far as pass rush, but if our pass rush is much better this year, I think that's going to help the safety either way, because any quarterback worth his salt, besides Daniel Jones, if you have open guys, if you have time in the pocket, you're going to find someone, no matter how good your safeties are. I think the pass rush is more important. It's always going to help your backfield. I don't know where we ranked the pass rush last year, but this didn't seem like we really had one. So that's just my feeling on the safety. I think we're over-worried about the safety position, where, again, if we sign these guys for the pass rush, a couple of them won't be here till week 7 or whatever. But I'm just hoping. I just want to know what you think about that opinion about as far as will the pass rush, if it's that much better, how much it'll help the backfield.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Ron. You might be a little surprised by this, actually. This is a regular season stat. I could look up playoffs for you, too. But in terms of pressure rate last year, the percentage of dropbacks that resulted in a pressure, the Bills' defense was 9th best in the NFL last year, 33.1%. So 33% of the time that the opposing quarterback dropped back to pass, the Bills were getting pressure on that quarterback. Now, that again, it's regular season. If I go over to the playoffs, it dropped by a couple percentage points. So actually not a great... Oh, no, it was 10th out of 14th. 10 out of 14. So they were 9th out of 32 in the regular season, and then they were 10th out of 14 in the playoffs. So, and that's always kind of been the thought about them, right? Is that they shrink when they get to the postseason on defense. And the defensive line, top of the list for that. So smaller sample size, but
I mean
that is the right point, right? Is they would hope right now, all right, we're not really that confident in Cole Bishop, and even Taylor Rapp is just kind of a guy.
And let's Trey go White spend $150 million on a defensive lineman.
That's what I mean. Like they're
it's not really
that.
The...
No, they're hoping that Joey Bosa and all the rookies they drafted are going to come in and wreck offensive lines, and the safeties' jobs are going to be easier because those quarterbacks won't have the time to get to them.
There are no big swings left. Just as much as I would love a Hendrickson, a Micah Parsons, there's no big move left this year. There's probably not a big move left next year.
No, they maybe have a deadline move in them.
Maybe.
On the level of what they've done the last 2 years.
A Cooper level move.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping, you know, to go full circle on Parsons because we started the segment with him. I'm rooting for Parsons to play this year for Dallas. Can you get me one more year before you get out of there, Micah? Because if I'm Brandon Bean, and the way Brandon Bean has operated is he's desperate to find that franchise pass rusher. Right now, aren't you thinking, man, just give me one more year? I don't have the room to get you right now.
Yeah.
Get me to next March before you get out of there.
Yeah.
And if you next March,
we could talk.
We maybe can get you here.
We could talk.
That's what I would be rooting for. Is no Parsons trade until the end of the season. Butch on the East Side's next. What's up, Butch?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I love MSG, love WGR. And to the fans who listen to watch this radio show, I love you. Let me get right to this point. You guys were speaking about Gabe Davis. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate that Brandon Bean has reached out just to see how his welfare is, as far as his health and welfare is. But that's it. He's done. Poking with a fork, he's done. I don't even want him nowhere near our franchise. What we have now, and I understand based off of drafting selection, but Terrell Shavers right now, I'm talking about right this second, is better than Keon Coleman. I mean, right this second. He knows how to get off the ball. He knows how to be. He is the star of training camp so far this year. He has another young guy, Christian Wilkerson, who's another stud. I'm not saying he could be on the 53, but he's going to be in that wide receiver room. Now, you add Gabe Davis, there's no place for him. We don't have any room for him. I mean, he's not going to give us anything else that we don't already have. And to me, it's a waste of time. So don't get me wrong. I appreciate Brandon getting out there, seeing what, just in case of somebody getting injured during the course of the year. We, like he always do, he bring players in all year long. But my thing is our four wide receivers are Palmer, Shakir, Shavers, Coleman. That's the four. Fine, you get your five. You might throw Shenault in there. And fine, if you can't move a Curtis Samuel near the end for something just to get a trade for him, just to get your money back a little bit, fine, you got Curtis Samuel. But as far as Gabe Davis, we are set as far as moving forward at the receiving. Terrell Shavers, like I said, I also want to sound redundant, but he is better than Keon. He's ready to perform under Josh Allen's tutelage. And I'm just saying that to you guys, and I love you. Thanks for taking my call. Keep having an outstanding show as usual, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Butch, for the call. Couple things. One, it's given Shavers a lot of credit to say right now he's better than Keon Coleman. I'm not a big Coleman guy.
I've come a long way on Coleman.
Yeah.
He's had a really good camp. I'm excited to see what it looks like this year. I think he's so I don't know what his year total was. I know he missed four games.
I think it's four games.
Four games. Yeah. If you were to tell me based on his average, like what the additional numbers would be had he played all 17 games, I bet you he outpaces that number by 20%. I think he could easily end up with 50 catches, 875 yards, and four touchdowns. Would you take that today from
Keon
Coleman?
What's the yardage number again?
875.
Yeah, I would take that. I would take that.
Would that be where would that put you on Keon Coleman going into year three?
I think I'm always going to be skeptical that there's a giant leap coming for him. So it would make me think this is the guy he is.
Yeah.
That he is pretty good. He's going to serve a role. He's going to be the big physical receiver.
He's just going to be Devin Funchess.
A few highlight reel catches a year. I would hope he'll do it in a different way. But I would you take Gabe Davis' stat lines for Coleman? 836 yards and seven touchdowns. 746 yards and seven touchdowns.
Yeah, like,
if that's about what he's averaging. Again, but part of that for me is I don't think that there's a giant ceiling there for Coleman. Unless they're ever going to try to put him in the slot. Like, the job of their offense is not to get the most out of Keon Coleman. It's what can Keon Coleman do that best helps the offense. If you were trying to figure out, hey, how do I get Coleman to be a star? I mean, I'm thinking about turning him into Puka Nacua. Big slot.
Yeah.
But they don't have that spot for him. Shakir's got that spot, and they don't have anybody else to play Coleman's position. I've always thought for his sake, he landed on a team that might not be best for him if he indeed is best suited to be a big slot guy. But again, if he's going to take a step this year and be that outside guy and be physical, then yeah, I would take 800 yards. I would take 800 yards for him in a second.
I mean, I definitely would. I think that's probably what we're looking at for him this year.
What did he end up with last year?
500?
556, and then was with missing four games. So mm-hmm. That's almost kind of what he was on track for.
Yeah.
42 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go up a little bit. Can I get to 50 at the least? And the touchdown rate to go up. For how good a jump ball guy he is, I think I'd want him to get double-digit touchdowns.
If he's just a touchdown grab guy, like...
Yeah, you can be valuable doing that.
Who is his comp today? What NFL starting receiver right now?
Man. He doesn't really separate. He goes up over the rim and catches it. I don't know that there's a great one. He's also the best stat that he had last year was actually his yards after catch. Like his yak over expectation, like all that stuff, was near the top of the league. So he's tough to pigeonhole. I don't know who I'd compare him
to. What about like George Pickens?
No, I think part of that, again, Pickens is like, Pickens beats man coverage. Coleman doesn't. Coleman creates yards with the ball in his hands. Pickens doesn't. Like the jump ball part is the same. But I think that might be the end of it for me. I'll have to think about that. Who's a good comp for him? I think it's guys that play in the slot, and he doesn't. Mm. So I don't have a good one. I think better than Devin Funchess.
I'm gonna chew on it during this break.
Timeout here.
That we're late for.
When we come back, TJ Reeves. We'll talk about the Bucks. 14 teams in 14 days. When we come back, the Bills play Tampa in the preseason and then in the regular season. So perfect time to get in on the Bucks with TJ. When we come back here on WGR.